B-Pod Studios.
Thank you, USA, member FDIC.
You have a job to fill. You post your opening to dozens of online job sites and receive 600 resumes, which you barely have time to eyeball and settle on someone good on paper. In real life, they aren't. You train, retrain, correct, redo, admit defeat, start all over again. Robert Half is the better way to find top talent quickly. Robert Half interviews and custom matches applicants to your exact requirements. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit RobertHalf.com.
I'm Marcus, and I'm a contractor. When I put new windows in my home, I used Anderson 400 series windows because they're a snap to install. And as a homeowner, I only want the best. So if I installed anything less, I'd have to call myself and say, what were you thinking? And I'd say back, I guess I wasn't. And who wants to have that conversation with themselves? So just go with Anderson 400 series. They're better for contractors and homeowners.
Anderson 400 series windows. The window contractors trust most in their own homes. Based on 2018 survey of contractors about Anderson 400 series cloud windows.
The Peruzzi Auto Group is the place to save on your next vehicle. But did you know that we are the original buy here, pay here dealership? We make credit issues disappear. Well, now you know. Visit Peruzzi.com. Our business is you.
It's 5:30 a.m. and you wake up to an alert that your network was hacked. Had you gotten an IT security certification from training camp, you would still be dreaming about the Birds QB winning the MVP this season. Avoid the alert. Wake up and get IT certified. Visit us online at trainingcamp.com or tweet us at trainingcamp. Ready to get started? Visit us today at trainingcamp.com. That's trainingcamp.com and use code FANATIC.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Get rebates up to $1,500 in special financing with approved credit on a new heating or cooling system. See your independent American Standard dealer for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com. That's AmericanStandardAir.com.
Celebrating 10 years as the sports voice of the new Philadelphia.
Thanks to you.
This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fanatic family. 97.5 The Fanatic. Big Green Giveaway, Giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download in the App Store or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yep, it's time for the 5K a day Big Green Giveaway. This hour's keyword. It's check. C-H-E-C-K. As in you're getting a big fat check from the IRS in the mail. Enter the keyword check on the Fanatic app on 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting check to 45911 by 4:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. And everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword check on the Fanatic app at 975thefanatic.com or by texting check to 45911 by 4:15 p.m. Our Fanatic 5K Day Big Green Giveaway. It's presented by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. All right, it's a 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnella Show. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, the man will be doing his show tonight called the Fanatic Pro Show, Brian Westbrook, PJs in Cherry Hill. He joins us now, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking, and they will protect your house. B West, 31-6 against a bad team. What is your takeaway?
You know what? First of all, good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Brian.
But here's my thought. I think anytime you get a win, certainly it's a good thing. But in the NFL, there are usually some style points. And so if you get a blowout, then that's a great thing. Things look good. If you win a close one, maybe you don't feel as comfortable with your team, but you know there's some value in that, too. I think that this was a game where we expected to win, of course. But I think that we all would have thought the game would have gone a little bit different. And it didn't necessarily go the way that I planned it to go. And I think that it kind of left some questions, some unanswered questions about the offense in particular and how good they can be.
Interesting. So how did you expect that it would go?
Well, I thought the Jets' defense was okay. I thought they would be on the field a bunch more. And because of that, we will probably wear them down. And, you know, I just kind of thought that Carson would have his way a little bit. And we'll see, you know, we kind of use this as a tune-up game for the next stretch of three games on the road. And we didn't necessarily see that as the game unfolded.
All right, let me throw it to you. Okay, we'll get to defense in a second, which showed you saw a lot more than they had been. But let's look at this offensive situation. You know, when they go up 14-0, the game is over. You just had the sense that team is so bad, they're not going to come back. So does that affect the way your intensity is, the way you call a game? You know, when you have a team licked, does it bring you down a little bit mentally?
It does. It does. I think that it brings you down as far as a play caller's perspective, but also as a player. You know, going into this game, you're saying as a player, let's put up some stats, which I think the defense did a very good job of getting 10 sacks. So you want to put up some stats, but you also want to make sure that you're healthy at the end of the day. And for a team that has struggled with injuries across the board, I think that being healthy probably was the end game. That's the most important thing. And so I think the play caller, as far as Doug, and some of the guys on the team, offensive guys especially, seem to be more concerned with being healthy at the end of the game than putting up 35 points against a team that they probably could have put 35 points up on offensively.
All right. So what we didn't see was a dynamic passing attack. They ran the ball, get Jordan Howard again. The dynamic passing attack is not there. Now, when you look at the receivers, is it their fault? Is it Carson's fault not seeing them? Like, well, what is preventing them from really getting that dynamic thing going?
Well, I don't think we've seen a dynamic passing game, you know, in a long time. Maybe since week one, and there's a reason for that. When you lose your most dynamic player in DeSean Jackson, and the guy that's going to fly down the field and open things up as we expected him to do, as we talked about it all season long, you lose that guy, that changes your offense just a bit. Now you need to run the ball a little bit more effectively and more efficiently. Now you need to be able to convert third downs and not look for that big play down the field. The other big play player down the field that's going to get those big plays is Nelson Aguilar. And I think that, you know, I don't know that Carson or the coaches have a bunch of confidence that he's going to catch the football right now. And so I think that aspect of our game has changed just a bit. You know, coming into this game, I would have loved to have seen a crisp Carson Wentz. You know, there are some passes that he just missed. There are some balls that I expect him to be able to complete. He just wasn't able to complete them to yesterday. And offensively, we look just kind of, just kind of like, we're okay. We're good enough. And, you know, when we play against a team that's going to put up points on the other side of the ball, I don't think that type of effort is going to be good enough. And I think their Eagles will have to ratchet it up again. But I think, to your earlier point, this football team, you know, kind of plays down to the level of their competition in many ways, and we expect them to be much better. And I think that good teams in the league never play down to the level of their competition. They always come out, and they may do that in the second half, but we didn't see a first half of a football squad playing up to the level that they should be. We kind of played down to their level from the beginning part of the football game, and that's just not going to be good enough against many of the teams in the NFL.
Brian, evaluate Wentz for me right now.
You know, I think, you know, Carson, it's weird because I think that Carson, I still think he has the intangibles to be a very good player. I think he has the arm strength. I think he has the ability to move around in the pocket. There are just times that he misses throws, and it leaves me scratching my head. Like, I wonder how that happened. I mean, he can whiz the ball in there to Alshon through three defenders' arms and complete the ball. And then there's other throws. He's in the pocket, no pressure, and he sails it over the receiver's head or just misses, plain misses. And so, he, you know, that just tells me that he's an inconsistent passer at this point. He's not as sharp. He's not as crisp. You know, I would love to be able to blame it on his inexperience with the guys that he's playing with, but he's played with these guys for a few weeks now. Maybe that's just who Carson is.
Wow, does this worry you here for the long haul?
It concerns me a little bit, but it also, this is the other thing that we know about Carson, that he's a gamer. And when the game is on the line and we need somebody to go down and do something, that he actually gets it done. And, you know, so it kind of goes both ways, to be honest with you. And I'm kind of wavering in my answer because I've seen him in situations where we need to go down and win the game, and he's done well. And the pressure is on him, and he needs to make a play, and he goes out and makes a play. The other side is that in games where we don't really need him that much, like yesterday where our offense, you know, just kind of just doing okay, there are times where he looks just average. And we all know that he's much better than that. And I think he could be more consistent in some of his passing, more consistent in some of his accuracy. And if he did that, we'll be seeing a different type of quarterback than the one that we're seeing week to week, which kind of looks different.
All right, defensively, they had me get to the quarterback, but they get 10 yesterday. Now, that's mitigated by the fact that the Jets are just feeble. Their offensive line is feeble, and everybody ate yesterday, including guys like Sweat and Ridgeway and Deshaun Hall. What did you make of that, of the effort, and does that translate?
You know, I thought that it was one of the things that you do as a player, you say, okay, this is a bad team against the run. From a running back's perspective, and you say, this is a stats game for me. This is a game where I expect to get, you know, 20 carries, over 100 yards, a couple touchdowns, and it'll be the end of the game for me, and I'll go sit on the bench and watch. And I think when you look at this offense for the Jets, and you look at our defense, they needed a stats game to gain some confidence, to be able to go out there and put up some numbers. And they did exactly that. Two touchdowns and 10 sacks. That's the type of game that you wanted to have, and that's the type of game that they had. And then I wasn't surprised. The Jets' offense is not very good, and our defense played up to their potential. They did not play down to the Jets, and so I think that was a good thing. It was good to see our defense finally get some pressure on the quarterback, albeit against a very average Jets offensive squad.
All right, sounds good. Come out and catch the Fanatic Pro Show tonight. Brian Westbrook, 6 to 7 at PJ's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The Pro Show presented by 19 Crimes Wine, the Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing. Brian, always a pleasure, man. Have a great show tonight.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
All right, there he is. B. West. And B. West, a little concerned about Carson. A little concerned, Tyrone.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm not concerned. Okay. But Brian is he's been a pretty heavy Carson critic to this point.
Yeah.
So I think he's been consistent.
Okay.
As long as the criticism's consistent, I have no problem with it.
Like an umpire. As long as the strike zone's consistent, I don't care if it's bad.
Right. And he was able to balance it out. He wasn't like that caller that that email. He said he's still a gamer. Yeah. He can still do this.
Right.
If you say that, then what am I going to say? Yeah. What am I going to argue with? He didn't have a lights out game.
All right. Football Monday on the Fanatics brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this season. All right. Let's get back to the phones. Don from Cape May Courthouse checking in. What's up, Don? Yo, Don. No listen to the radio. All right. Sorry, Don. Jake in Harrisburg. Jake, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Mike. I wanted to start things off by thanking you for your little bit of advice you gave me last week on the controversial topic with my wife.
Oh, yeah. How'd that work out?
Went well. I didn't play her the podcast. I rethought that and thought that might have not been a good idea.
Uh-huh.
So I did sit down and talk with her and use some of the advice you gave me, and it worked out well.
Awesome. That's me. Dr. Love.
Yep. Exactly. All That's right. what I was thinking. Thanks again for that. Anyhow, on the Eagles, I'm on the side of not taking really anything from yesterday's game. I agree with Brian Westbrook on some points and some I don't. I do feel they played, you know, above their competition for the very early part of the game. I do agree with him that later on, and even early in the first half, they did play a little bit down to their competition. But after you saw that 14-point lead, and you saw the couple series, the Jets, you could tell they absolutely had no chance. I could have taken plays out of a fishbowl and won that game from there on out. It just didn't matter. The 14 points we scored on defense was enough to beat the Jets.
It was.
So, I mean,
I actually tweeted that out. I go, the bad news is their offense doesn't look that great. The good news is they don't need another point to win this game. It was 14-0.
Exactly. And do you really need to dive deep into the playbook and show your hands?
I guess
in a game
not.
That's your, when you go up that heavy, and it's also a mental and a mindset thing in football to go out there and crush a team. And when you literally see how inferior the competition is that early in the game, does that take a little bit from the mindset of, you know, having that oomph the whole game to go out there and score 35 points on offense when you know it doesn't matter and you don't need to put yourself in harm's way in the injury areas either?
Yeah.
So I don't really take anything. Now, going forward, there are still questions, and I'm still have concerns about different games and different opponents this season, but I can't take anything from yesterday's game, really, offensively or defensively.
I hear you. And that's why I say it doesn't give me any kind of indication on how they're going to react in these three games on the road. Maybe come out gangbusters. Who knows? When you least expect this team to come out gangbusters, they do. So maybe that happens against Minnesota.
I feel confident against Minnesota. I do. I'm not as high on Minnesota. I mean, even glancing over a couple times of the game yesterday against the Giants. The Giants, if they would have converted a couple more times in the red zone, that probably would have been a different game.
Yeah.
Minnesota's defense looks for real down in the red zone. So I give some credit to the Minnesota defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Minnesota's offense, especially playing a, we look at ourselves as a good team. Kirk Cousins against a good team is not very good.
Yeah.
So I still am pretty confident against the Minnesota.
Yeah, again, they have receivers on that team. And, you know, the Eagles got away with Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas played okay yesterday. And they got away with Orlando Scandrick on the field for a long time. So we'll see next week.
Like I said, I still have concerns.
Okay. All right, bud. You got it, man. I appreciate it, Jake. Oh, you know, I was looking at my Twitter scroll to see what I did. And I do have the Edgar Garcia one right here. See, it's actually the song.
Yeah.
It's the song. Happy birthday to you. And it's got the notes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Edgar. Happy birthday to you with the little notes.
Okay.
And then the photo of him. Happy birthday, Edgar Garcia.
Right. And why does it bother you so much?
I don't know, man. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay.
But I do. It's like this. To me, it's disrespectful to your fans to be happy about wishing a marginal player a happy birthday when you just came through like hellfire to the end of the baseball season.
All right, I'll put you on the spot then.
What?
Who is allowed? Let's assume that they have to wish people happy birthday, so you can't cop out and say nobody. Who's allowed to get a happy birthday on the Phillies based on this past season? Who's allowed?
All right, I'll go through the list.
Okay.
Bryce.
Okay.
Aaron Nola.
Okay.
JT Realmuto.
All right.
Alvarez.
Alvarez pitched well. That's it?
Four players? No,
McCutcheon should get a happy birthday.
Yeah, it's not.
McCutcheon getting hurt is not his fault. He hurt his ACL. It's not
matter.
Like he played
Next
well.
Next year he'll get a happy birthday. This year he was a non-entity. Four dudes.
Hector Neris definitely deserves happy birthday.
Four dudes. Bobby Neris played well. Phillies.
Neris was good.
Listen, Mr. Twitter guy.
It's ridiculous.
Or Miss Twitter lady. You got four guys you can wish happy birthday
Jet
to.
Jetpacks can't get a happy birthday.
Jetpacks gets one. Five.
And that's it. Hector Neris doesn't get a happy birthday.
Anything else is a slap to your fan base.
Neris was good.
All right, Neris.
Also,
six.
Somebody who
Neris,
has
six.
Who has done social media for, you know, I used to do it here.
Guys get happy birthday.
They're kind of looking for content at this time too, because it's not natural content. So they're trying to generate something.
It's better off not to post that than to post it.
They have to post something.
No,
what
they don't.
Should they post?
Don't. Are you going to post Mike Morin? Happy birthday, Mike Morin.
If he's still on the roster,
still on the
yes.
Team?
When his
right
birthday
now,
comes
right now.
Up.
Say his birthday's tomorrow. Happy birthday, Mike Morin.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Jared Hughes.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Blake Parker.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Everybody gets a happy birthday if you're on the team.
No. You can't. You can't have.
No happy
you
birthday.
Can't have this. It's a slap. You can't pretend that everything's hunky-dory with notes. You got notes over here. Happy birthday. I'm supposed to sing the song
he's
to Edgar?
So upset about
I
that.
Do hope Edgar has a good birthday.
He
I don't necessarily want him back on my team, but I hope he enjoys his birthday. The only person I want to not have a happy birthday is Pavetta. I don't want him to have the good birthday.
No right, cake
so you're
for
gonna,
Pavetta.
You're going to edit Pavetta. He's the only guy you're going to edit Pavetta.
He's out.
Because personally, you don't like him. At least I'm doing it blanket objectively.
No, it's because he's a mope. He's always moping.
He probably mopes on his birthday.
Yeah, man, another year older.
Six people get the happy birthdays.
That's it.
Respect your fan base. Ed in Wilmington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
McCutcheon gets a happy birthday, but that is a mo.
No, but then McCutcheon doesn't get one. Sorry. It's unfortunate he got hurt, but he's not in my consciousness to give him a happy birthday.
He's the only one I want to give one.
Next year, I'll give him one.
Maybe Bryce's kid, brand new baby. But, hey, Mike, Eagles.
What?
All right. Tyrone picked it. I agreed with him that Green Bay would win that game, and they did it without their top receiver against Dallas. The Jets-Eagles game was ho-hum. It was a defensive tune-up is what it was. The offense was doing the same thing we were as fans. They just took the day off. And
what was your take from it then? What they did take the day off. They could have mailed that win in. They did get 10 sacks. So what is your take? And what does it give you any indication of what they are?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. What do you got?
To me, when their quarterback shook Carson Wentz's hand, he looked like his hair had been combed with Eagles barbed wire. I mean,
Falk shook Carson Wentz's hand afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I didn't stick around to see that part.
Well, I just saw it on TV briefly at a glimpse. But here's the deal, Mike. I think, and nobody's saying it, I think we're a scary road team. And I think we take the next three road games. As long as nobody gets injured and maybe some guys come back.
I hope you're right. I don't feel that. It's tough to win three straight games on the road.
Minnesota. Buffalo can't score on offense. Minnesota is like a two-tool team. You're right. They do have receivers. Cook's tearing it up. We can beat that team. I mean, we beat the Packers.
Certainly they can beat Minnesota. Certainly they can.
And you know we can beat Dallas, Mike.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm just not seeing three in a row. No matter how, like, you can convince me the Eagles are better than Buffalo and they're better than Dallas and better than Minnesota. I just don't think winning three in a row, like a great team wins three in a row. They're not a great team. They're a good team.
They should have beat Atlanta, Mike.
But they didn't. They're not a great team. A great team would beat Atlanta in that game.
I think they're a good road team. I think they're better on the road, and I think that other teams don't want to play us when we come into their
house. You're awful optimistic, Ed. I don't know where you're getting all this, but I like it.
Mike, I'm going to call you back after three games.
I hope you're right. They win three in a row. It'd be a shock to me, to be honest. They win three in a row here in this gauntlet? Can they win three in a row? I guess they can. Will they win three in a row? What's the likelihood?
I think it's all right. It's a 33% chance they only win. It's a 33% chance they go 3-0. 33%.
All right, so that's not very good.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's 33%. I think it's 50-50.
That they win the first two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And all this can change because we were going off the premise of the Dallas defense. Forget the offense for a second, being really good.
Yeah.
They were without that number one receiver, which is big because he's been great, Adams. And they still were able to carve up that defense. Now, we'll find out if that was just Rodgers being great or is that defense not as great as we thought. We'll find out.
Is this a double revenge game for the Vikings?
No, they won last year.
Oh, that's right.
The Eagles are in revenge.
Okay. All right. Well, then, you know, that's actually.
And the Eagles are double revenge against Dallas.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I love them beating Dallas in that game. It's the Minnesota and Buffalo game I'm struggling
with. Now, Eagles are with revenge in that game.
All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. And when we come back, we'll tell you about the Fanatics 10th anniversary All-Star Day, which is coming up on Thursday. Jaworski coming up at 5:10. One open line.
97.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm the Fanatic. The Mike Missinelli Show.
610-622-0975. We're back after this. Oh, yeah, it's time for a Twitter poll update at 4:30. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat.
Mike, we have over 1,300 votes on today's poll. What did you learn about the Eagles yesterday? 50% say nothing. 11% say the defensive line is good. 33% say the offense is struggling. 6% say they're Super Bowl bound.
The majority say nothing, and that's the way I felt. It was a nothing game. I learned nothing from it. So we'll just have to see what happens next week. Tyrone, we didn't talk about Sixers today, but I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Yes.
As you know, this is like digging into my deep fears.
I know.
And I texted you.
You did.
Because in the scrimmage, the Sixers scrimmage, blue versus white, Ben Simmons did not take a shot outside the paint, which meant no jumpers. And we've been conditioned to think he's going to take some jumpers. Now, this is a scrimmage. You would think he would be fearless enough to test out the new jump shot. However, I realized, and this is why it's plugging into my biggest fear, this was in front of people. This scrimmage was in front of spectators. 3,500. Now, you know my theory on this is he never wants to show people what he can't do. And I hope that thought hasn't creeped back into his head. Oh, there are some people out there. I don't want to show them. Soothe me.
It's fair. I can't tell you. No, that's crazy. But you did say you're waiting for it for a game.
Game.
This was not a game. It was a scrimmage. Let's see.
People were there to watch it.
Yeah, but
3,500.
Yeah, but he shoots in front of people. He shot in front of people before the game
this
and stuff like that.
This is a scrimmage where people are invested in watching the scrimmage and the result, and therefore
invested in
watching him shooting a jump shot and he didn't pull the trigger.
Not a game. But it's a real concern.
Why?
It's not a game.
Let me ask you this simply. Why would you not shoot a jumper?
I don't know, Mike. I'm going to believe it's a fair concern.
But
you drive yourself crazy too early. Because you said you weren't going to worry about it until you saw it in a game.
This is a semi game.
Nah, but
it's not like shooting where somebody's got a video camera on you or a little cell phone cam. This is a game. This is like up and down. This is a game. 3,500 people watching a game.
They play a game tomorrow.
Yeah, they play the China team.
Let's see if he shoots tomorrow. Because everyone's expected to participate tomorrow.
Guy emailed me and said his wife speaks Chinese.
Oh, really?
And he wondered if it would be a good idea to interview a guy on the Chinese team with her translating it. But I go, it sounds like a good idea, but I don't know. Like,
for what?
Who would I pick?
That's what I mean. Like,
I don't know who's good on the other team. You know?
Do they have like the captain, team captain?
I don't know.
And there's some controversy going on right now.
Oh yeah. God, yeah.
With China and the NBA and the Rockets and all that kind of stuff. It's because Maury said something.
And also, there's some trade agreement controversy that are going on with that country. I understand.
Yes.
The president is involved in some kind of a snafu with China.
Yeah.
And then he asked China to investigate somebody. I forget who it was, but he's, you know.
Yes.
Okay. Let me look at this.
Well, don't get me started.
Would be a neat cultural experience.
Yeah, but the problem
is. That would be nice for our.
Nah, that's the problem. To me, it's a tune-up. If you interview anybody and I don't know who they are, I'm changing.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem.
Yeah, so it sounded like a better idea then.
But now here's the thing. If you were talking to Marbury, who has played in China, but I know who he is, and hey, what's the competition like over there? You got some guys?
Yeah,
now
I wouldn't need an interpreter. See, to get the interpreter is the whole,
No, I'm saying, but let's say
that was the whole shtick.
I don't need an
Chinese,
interpreter.
Like an interpreter. Interpreters are fun because sometimes they can.
Yeah.
Like, everybody asked the guy, like, what kind of offense do you run? And he may come back with, Trump is an idiot. And that translates back.
Oh, boy.
All right. yes. So, coming up Thursday would be the Fanatics 10th Anniversary All-Star Day. So, yes, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary. I believe I've been here all 10 years.
You have.
Yes. I have been here for the all
you
ten.
You are the pillar.
The OG.
You're the pillar of this station.
So this is the 10-year of the FM?
No. Yeah.
The 10-year of the station when we went to FM.
I think it's the 10-year of the FM.
Okay. And so to celebrate, we're bringing back the All-Star Day. And from 6A to 6P, you'll be able to hear all of our hosts in different time slots. So, like, I'll be on the morning show, and then I'll hang out with Jason and Anthony. And then they'll hang out with me. A bunch of people will be on with me for the 4 hours from 2 to 6. It's a fun day to celebrate 10 great years and to thank all of our listeners. And it'll just be like freeform radio, which will be fun. All right. Vicente in Lansdowne. What's up, Vicente?
Hola, amigo Mike.
Hola, Vicente. What's going on, buddy?
Feliz cumpleaños for all the Hispanic baseball players.
Feliz cumpleaños a Edgar Garcia.
Correcta mundo.
That's right.
Hey, listen, I was so happy watching the game this Sunday against the Jets over and over because I DVR. And I was kind of studying the film like a pro.
Yeah.
Trying to determine what can be improved, you know. And I understand Brian Westbrook's concern about Carson Wentz because Carson Wentz takes like 1 or 2 seconds more in the pocket, inviting people to come over and tackle him. And you know,
yeah, he held the ball once about 6 seconds.
Of course, he's risking his injury on the knee. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw how he fell with his leg folded, and it was poked for.
Yeah, you know, that was a scary play. And we're glad to see him pop up from that because that looked like a wrenched knee. Yeah. Yeah, caught underneath his leg, caught underneath him. That was scary. Now, that was scary.
Right. I was having so much fun watching BG, number 55, Randall Graham, you know, coming out of like escape from a zoo, like a gorilla jumping over Luke Falk.
Cinco, cinco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful to see that.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, Vicente, and you and I both know it. Los choros apistan.
Los toros.
Los choros apistan, right?
Los choros apistan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jets stink.
apestan.
Sorry. Apestan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the last one, I don't know if anybody talked about the biggest highlight from the Sunday's game was Orlando Scandrick, the strip sack touchdown.
How about that? How about that play? Snatched it right away from him. Took it to the house.
And what would happen to this cornerback between, you know, like Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby?
Oh, I won't get all carried away with Orlando Scandrick, bro. No. He's not a starting corner. They actually played him in the slot yesterday, a majority of the time, playing him for Maddox. But no, I wouldn't get carried away with Orlando Scandrick.
What would you think if he does the same thing to Cousins over there in Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't get carried away. That's all I will say to you about Orlando Scandrick.
Okay, have faith.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Talk to you later. Yeah. Bye. Los Jets. Muy malo. 610-632-09. It's hard to believe how that. I just don't understand it. It's like year in and year out, no matter like what they do, they stink. How could you be a fan of that team? Don't you feel bad for those people? And every year it's misery with that the Jets fan base.
I feel bad for the Jets fans.
I actually do too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't feel bad
for Giants fans. They're
second class citizens in that city to the Giants, right? And then they got to be, they put up with this stank every year.
And most Jets fans are Mets fans, so they're second class in multiple sports. I feel bad for, seriously, there it's Giants, Yankees, Giants,
it usually
Jets,
flows,
Mets.
It usually flows that way.
That's a bad existence.
Right,
like, that's a bad existence.
Right, but
They live up there. I'm not going to be mad at them. They live up. If they're from here, I'll be mad. They're up there. They should root for their team.
At what point is it a personal choice when you're like, okay, I should probably just become a Giants
fan? It's like us. We're pleading for the Phillies to make the playoffs, right? Year after year. And it's to say, like, if you're Jets fan, you got to think, there's got to be somebody who actually knows what he's doing to build the team the right way. Every other franchise seems to do it. This franchise seems to have, like, a curse of some sort. All right. 610-632-0975. One line open. Grab it on the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5, the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show
on 97.5, the Fanatic.
This is Tyrone Johnson for the Eagle Fence Company Defense Review. Well, the defense played really well. 10 sacks, 2 touchdowns. The question is, can the defense continue that dominance against the Vikings? And when I needed a new fence, Eagle Fence Company, they came out. They did a fantastic job. They did a really clean job. And two of my neighbors have bought fences from them because mine looks so nice. Beautiful cedar fence. It has terrific quality, beautiful designs. These guys do fences for all the big companies as well. Comcast, McDonald's, Home Depot, Amazon, the Art Museum. The big fence you see around the Eagles practice facility. The Mann Center for Performing Arts. If you see a fence from the big multi-million dollar projects like at the airport to your neighbor's backyard like mine, it was probably done by the great people at Eagle Fence. They have 40 years in the business. You'd be foolish to buy a fence anywhere else. You call them today. 215-665-1775. That's 215-665-1775, or you can visit them online at eaglefence.net. That's eaglefence.net.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
47, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 to tonight. Ron Jaworski will join us at 5:10. We'll get his spin on Carson Wentz, who usually has a good feel for evaluating a quarterback. So we'll check in with Jaworski at 5:10. Boy, last night was a great night for TV, man. This new series has started, Tyrone. Are you catching it? The Godfather of Harlem?
No.
Forrest Whitaker?
It's on Netflix, right?
Story of Bumpy Johnson? No, it's not on Netflix. It's on Stars, I think. I think it's Stars.
Or is it Epics?
Maybe Epics. Epics or Stars?
I did not catch
Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, it sounds like a good one.
As Bumpy Johnson.
That's good.
And, he's, you know, the story of the American Gangster.
Yes.
Bumpy Johnson preceded Frank Lucas.
Right? Yeah.
It goes into all the Bumpy Johnson's dealing with the mob at the time. So Frank Costello, Vincent the Chin Gigante, all that stuff. It's really good. Saw the first two episodes last night. On the heels of the best written dialogue show in the history of shows.
What's that?
Succession.
Oh.
There's no question in my mind now. And I've seen a lot of shows. Succession is the best written show ever. Dialogue-wise.
Oh. See, I spent all my time spending time watching a sitcom, a whole season. I watched the whole first season of The Good Place.
Okay. Well, yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Watch the first season of that.
Stop it.
It was really good.
So for people that don't watch Succession, the dialogue, it's amazing. The dialogue they write in it is amazing. It's snappy. It's smart. It's a great show.
That's a bold claim.
I'm telling you. And you know me, I love the Wire's dialogue. This dialogue is so good, it's hard to believe.
All right.
Let's go Tim in Roxborough. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Mikey Miss, what's up?
What's up, Tim?
Tyrone. Natalie, how are you?
They're doing peachy.
Yeah, I can't believe I've been listening to sports talk all day and people are negative about this win.
Nah.
No.
They're not negative, but they're not overly impressed either. Which is a good fan take. Because if they were if they were overly impressed, they'd be phony. Because there was nothing to be overly impressed with it, right?
I just can't see people being negative about us being tied with the Cowboys for the NFC East.
Well, who was negative? Like, give me an example of somebody who was negative.
So people are saying that the offense came out flat yesterday.
It was very inconsistent. The offense was very consistent.
Yeah, but that's fine against a bad team.
Yeah, it's one way of looking at it, but it doesn't, conceal the fact that there wasn't really a snappy offense. There wasn't a rhythm to it.
Our run game was okay.
Yeah. There wasn't a rhythm to the passing game at all.
Yes, our offense mm-hmm. continues to drop passes, wide receivers.
They did what they needed to do. I don't think anybody has qualms with that, but it's like the poll we're running is 50%. So they know it wasn't overly impressive.
I just know we came out slow, and people are still negative that we got back to 3-2. We could have easily had a worse record than this.
Yeah, but you can't look at it that way. You got to look at the game when it's played itself. Did that game impress you in any way?
It did with the defense, but that's at a default because it was a Jets.
Well, there you go. See, that gets in the way, doesn't it?
When you expect your defense to show up against a bad team, they did that yesterday. They broke NFL record.
They broke an NFL record?
10 sacks, fumble return, and a pick six, I believe, is a NFL record.
Oh, really? Oh.
I think so.
There you go.
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm not, like, over the moon. But I watched a game that was kind of like a drone for me. It was like, oh, this team is so bad that whatever they get out of this is not, you know, going to be that overly impressive.
I got you. But, like, all right, so for the Vikings, I think we dominate that game too, though.
Dominate it? What's that mean? What do you mean by that?
We're playing Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Think about the Eagles' record.
So you're applying the same Sackville that you saw against the Jets against the Vikings Minnesota.
No, not the same sack total.
Okay.
But against Kirk Cousins, the Eagles have a ridiculous record. Yeah. So
all right, that's what I'm looking for. I can buy that.
I think we have a big three-game road trip.
Vikings won last year, though, you know.
Yeah, but look what we did against the Vikings in the NFC Championship, and now they have Kirk Cousins, which we know we can beat.
Is Kirk Cousins 1-0 against the Eagles as a Viking? He is. He's 1-0.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not playing for the Redskins anymore.
I think for this next stretch, I think we lose to the Patriots. I think that's it.
So wait a minute. You got them winning three straight on the road.
Yes.
And then you don't have, and then the Patriots come in. So then what about the Bears? What about Seattle? What about those? You got those W's too?
Well, the Bears are missing a starting quarterback,
uh-huh.
which he might be back then.
All right, wait. First things first. You got them three in a row on the road winning.
Yes.
All right. Listen, now you're an optimistic guy. He's the most optimistic caller of the day right there. My man. Very optimistic.
Yeah, but that's...
I don't want to drown him.
It's still weird.
Let's talk to Jack. Jack, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Jack?
Hey, so I think the big takeaway from that game is it shows how much Wentz misses a deep threat and that we have to get him someone to be able to stretch the field again.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I think that until we get Deshaun back, I think that person should be Miles Sanders. We can play him like they played Tariq Cohen in Chicago. He's not really a running back. Have him stretch the field. And Doug said today that they want to give Howard the ball more, which they absolutely should. He's the most efficient running back in the NFL.
Now, you're missing the diversity of the attack. You're missing
but
the
thunder. Why do we need that?
First of all,
the Cowboys don't have that.
First of all, you just can't take a running back and play him wide as a wide receiver. Second of all, the balance, well, this is not Chicago. This is Philadelphia. Miles Sanders is not a Tariq Cohen has a little more experience that way. He's going to catch the ball out of the backfield, not as a wide receiver. And what the advantage he gives you, Howard is not an every down back because he can't catch the ball out of the backfield. So you don't want to give the defense that look where your backfield is predictable. It's not a good idea.
And don't you think that same strategy ends up working in New York and in Dallas?
No, it's not a good idea to think that Miles Sanders can line up as a wide receiver.
All right. And then second, can we please just yank Aguilar? I don't want to see him take another snap.
You got anybody else in mind there? You want to play in a slot?
Let's get Whiteside. If we're going to have a QB who's constantly dropping passes, let's get a wide receiver.
Yeah, Whiteside not really a slot receiver.
Yeah, but at least I'd rather have someone taking snaps who, if they're going to drop it, might be on the team next year, because there's no way Aguilar will be. He's not a good receiver.
Yeah, but there's no replacement for him. So you got to keep running him out there. That's good. My man had some radical ideas.
Yeah.
Put J.J. in the slot, put Miles Sanders at wide receiver, play Jordan Howard every down. No, that's not good.
No,
and you can't get crazy here.
Not while you're still in the mix. I mean, they're right there, right, kind of first place. Why are you getting desperate?
Exactly. All right. 610-620-975. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. Mike Mussnelli Show, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.